This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
Let us pray. Good Lord, deliver us from all spiritual blindness, from pride, vainglory, and hypocrisy, from all deadly sin and from the deceits of the world, the flesh, and the devil, from hardness of heart and contempt of your word and commandment. Good Lord, deliver us. Amen. You may take a seat. According to Jesus, there are four responses to the word of God, which means that right now in this room, you can and you have and you will respond to the word of God in one of four ways. All of us, no matter who we are, will respond to the word of God in one of these four ways. There are four responses, four hearts, four soils. Now today we're going to be looking at these four responses to the word of God. But before we do that, I want to make two preliminary remarks. The first is this. Another way of saying this is to say that there are four Christians, but only one of them is authentic. Only one of them is genuine. See, as Jesus is preaching, as he's giving this message, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the crowds of people who have come to listen to him. And those crowds are filled with the Old Testament people of God, the people of Israel. And he is saying to the people of God, among you, you will respond to the word of God in one of four ways. Some of you will reject it. Some of you will fall away. Some of you will get distracted. And only some of you will receive it. He's saying this to the people of God. Being in church, being a Christian, does not necessitate that you are the good soil. In fact, all four responses to the word of God are alive and well in the church. In fact, as we go through the Gospel of Luke, we will tend to find that the best example of the path is not in the irreligious or the immoral or the unbeliever. No, in fact, the best example of the path in Luke's gospel is found in the religious, the moral, the upright, and the good. My second preliminary is this. Jesus says that the seed that is sown is the word of God. That is the same word that spoke in the beginning and brought life into the abyss. The same word that spoke and brought all that exists out of the depths of non-being and brought it to actuality. The same word that spoke and the dry bones came alive. That is the word of God. But look at where Jesus locates the word of God. He locates it in himself. He is the living word of God. He is the life-creating act of God, bringing about the kingdom and the purposes of God in the world. He is the word made flesh. See, the word of God is not about some sort of teaching. It's not about doctrine. It's not about theology. It's about encountering Christ and responding to him, the true and living word of God. So let's look at these four soils. And we begin with the path. Now, I think it's important that we know that paths are not self-existing. Paths are created. They're curated. The great American poet Wendell Berry says of a path, "What is a path other than a habit, a ritual of familiarity? A path is a way that is walked and after time and through frequent use is formed into a path. It becomes established and then is etched into the landscape." In the same way, our heart becomes a path through repeated actions, thoughts and dispositions that reject the word of God in Christ. The rejection of the word of God creates a heart that rejects the word of God, which in turn continues to reject the word of God. That might sound like a truism, but it is in fact true. If I act in such a way that hardens my heart becomes hardened, and out of a hardened heart comes hardness of heart. Or to continue the path metaphor, the more you walk along the path, the more entrenched the path becomes. The more you resist Christ, the more resistant to Christ you become. That is the way of the path. So who might these people be, this seed scattered on the path? Well, ultimately, the path represents anyone who does not receive the word of God given in Christ. That is the path. But those on the path might be people who sit right here week after week. People who can recite the whole creed and can say a hearty amen at the end of it. People who can pray eloquently, whose theology is totally correct and whose biblical knowledge is impeccable. They might even have a degree, might even have a PhD, they might even stand in the pulpit. But behind the masquerade of knowledge lies a heart that is hardened to the purposes of God in their life. I think this is the sort of person who says, well, of course I'm accepted by God. Why would God not accept me? If I were God, I would choose me as well. And I think in this person's heart, the whole word of God can actually be fully affirmed. They can affirm the whole word of God, but they will only receive the parts of the word of God that already confirm their own biases, that already affirm the way they were going to act anyway. But as soon as Christ comes to bring challenge, as soon as Christ calls to repentance, as soon as Christ brings rebuke, as soon as Christ calls for self-negation, that is only ever a teaching reserved for somebody else. Because the speck is ever in my brother's eye. Jesus is right. They should repent. They are sinful after all. And they should give away all their money because they do have a problem with greed. And in this way, the whole word of God can be affirmed, but never received, never allowed to penetrate into the heart. The heart resists it. It doesn't yield to it. And eventually Satan comes and removes even the temptation. You see, we may be tempted to think that the heart of the path is out there. It's in the atheists and the staunch anti-Christian people, but do not be fooled. The heart is deceitful above all else, and the path is perhaps just as present in the church as it is in the world. And in fact, the path is far more dangerous in here because it is in here that it is best hidden. The path is any response that resists the word of God in Christ. This is the faith of the path, but it is not the faith of the kingdom of God. The next two responses, the rocky soil and the weeds, these ones share a trajectory. At first, they both receive the word, they both grow, they both sort of bring about the promise of a harvest, but for one reason or another, neither gets there. One falls away because of trial, the other just sort of gets distracted. One because of cost, the other because of immediacy. If we look at the rocky soil, this is the sort of person who at first accepts the message of Christ with great joy, because after all, it's good news, isn't it? And it seems to promise the end of all my problems. This person accepts Christ because it is in their benefit to do so. I mean, Christ brings a community. And that brings an end to my loneliness and my sense of disconnection. And it's always good to be with people. Christ brings meaning and the opportunity to be part of something bigger than myself. And this alleviates my constant existential angst. Christ brings hope. And this overcomes my despair and my despondency. And as long as Christ brings positivity, this person continues to follow. Yet when trial inevitably comes, when following Christ entails cost, when there is no healing, when the prayer is unanswered, when following Christ mars one's image and reputation, when following Christ means rejection, when Christ demands that we love in a way that costs, when Christ says, give up, let go, lose, give away, when Christ says, take up your cross and die, then the shallow roots of this person's faith are exposed. And they walk away. Because this person was not in fact won by Christ, but only by the perceived benefit to themselves. This person believed in Christ only because Christ seemed to serve their purposes. And when Christ no longer serves their vision, their desire, their dreams, their purposes, or their aspirations, they let him go. When they realize that the path of least resistance actually lies elsewhere, where prosperity, ease, community, and much happiness can be acquired at much less cost elsewhere, they turn aside. This is the faith of the rocky soil, but it is not the faith of the kingdom of God. The people among the weeds are different because I think these people genuinely and earnestly desire to follow Christ. Jesus says that they receive the word and they are going along the way. They're actually seeking to follow Christ with their life. But then what happens? The noise of the world and its rampant distractions. T.S. Eliot said that we are distracted from distraction by distraction. The world, after all, is a distracting place. And these distractions demand our attention, they demand our allegiance, they commodify our desire, and they pull us towards them. And as we go towards these distractions, we begin to lose sight of Christ. And although this person may still believe, in a very real sense, they're no longer really following. But maybe they will tomorrow or next week. When this thing ends, when this comes to an end, when that's over, then I will follow. The American folk singer Gillian Welch said, I want to do right, but not right now. Or St. Augustine said, Lord, give me chastity, but not yet. See, I think one of the stumbling blocks for this faith is the problem of immediacy. It's that the kingdom of God feels less immediate and less real than the week that lies ahead of me. The kingdom of God is less real than my bills that need paying, or sorting out my superannuation, or the mouths that need feeding, or the 1,756 things I probably should have done and probably should be doing. The kingdom of God is less real than the pleasures of this life. And the kingdom of God may be something to believe in, but it's removed from life. It's inexpedient and it's impractical to the pressures of everyday living. The word of God in Christ succumbs to the realpolitik of the expediency and the immediacy of this world. And ultimately it does so because the kingdom of God is just less important than what really matters. My holiday, my comfort, my financial security, my career, my family. This person does not wholly abandon Christ, but they do not mature. They do not grow. They bring about no harvest, and in the end, they do not persevere. This is the faith of the weeds, but it is not the faith of the kingdom of God. And then finally, we have the good soil. This is the soil that receives the word of God and brings about the harvest of a transformed life. And in this humble ground, the whole kingdom of God is made manifest. These are the people who receive the word and they retain it and they persevere. And this is the difference, simply this: they keep going. You see, the harvest is not found in something exceptional in the soil. It is in the seed itself. The power of the harvest is found in the seed. The good soil is simply the person that receives and continues and does so with perhaps no great experiences, but with much weakness, small faith, and difficulty. Again and again, this person continues to walk step by step, day by day, decision by decision, disappointment by disappointment, mistake by mistake, in humility with Christ. The good soil need not look spectacular. It might look pretty ordinary, weak, and unimpressive. But despite life's trials, and despite much hardship and disappointment, much distraction and temptation, this person labors on, and in the faithfulness of God, they yield a harvest. This is the faith that is expressed by the prophet Habakkuk, who writes, "Although the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the oil crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." Throughout the Gospel of Luke, the good soil frequently looks like the ordinary, the vile, the hopeless, and the miserable. But they receive Christ. They hold on to him and they persevere, and the kingdom of God abounds in them. This is the faith of the kingdom of God. I want to leave us with this. I want you to know that neither you nor I are static. We're not unmoving. And the soils described here are not predetermined types of people. You need not be what you have always been. The soils are responses to the word of God, and God keeps speaking. This is his grace to us, that he speaks anew every day, as long as it is called today. He continues to cast his seed on the path, on the rocky soil, amidst the weeds, and on the good soil. And in each moment, he speaks to us, and he calls us to respond to him. And this is what he asks of you: receive Christ. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has enough trial of its own. Receive him today. And persevere in faith, asking again for bread enough to walk with him this day. Isn't that the prayer we pray? Give us today our daily bread. So today, if you hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts. Good Lord, deliver us. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.